Among the confidential activities of hearing, thinking, and meditating, silence is most important, because by silence one can make progress very quickly. The wise man is he who can discriminate between matter and spirit, between God's superior and inferior natures. Such knowledge is Krishna himself. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tidabide Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 38. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am the wisdom. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to discuss in this section where Krishna is listing his opulences, his vibhutis. So in this society, when the Lord creates this world and the living entities stay here, He also creates rules, laws for staying here. Even the country, the government of the country, nation, they also make laws. Even the society, Anushakti Nagar, they also have laws of staying here. So these laws are made so that everything is smooth and peaceful. So when somebody breaks the law, somebody is miscreant, duskriti, he breaks the law, then such a situation has to be rectified, improvised, and a person like that has to be controlled and suppressed. So the government does various things to suppress such miscreants, and out of whole options, alternatives, one is punishment, saja, giving danda. And Krishna says, among all the various alternatives of suppressing miscreants, I am punishment. Any punishment given by an authorized agent to a miscreant represents Krishna. Punishment is required. That is why there are courts. The courts are supposed to do hearing and give punishment, so that any person who does pap, sinful activity or criminal activity, is bound to be punished by Mother Nature. That is compulsory, laws of nature, this birth or next birth. But if somebody undergoes the punishment given by government, then the punishment coming from Mother Nature is reduced. if somebody escapes the government through loopholes in the law or through corruption, through the help of lawyer or so many other devices, then his punishment from Mother Nature increases. So nobody can escape punishment. The laws of karma are very just and very compulsory and very strict. So this punishment is an important factor to improve the society. When Lord Krishna with Balram and his cowherd boys, he came from Vrindavan to Mathura with Akroor. Then in the evening, Krishna Balram wanted to see the city of Mathura. Because they were coming from village, they never saw the city. So they were curious because they heard Mathura city is very beautiful, very opulent. So they wanted to see the city. So as Krishna Balram with his cowherd boy, Sakhas, were going on the streets of Mathura, there came a washerman, Dhobi, who used to wash clothes and who also used to dye clothes. Washerman and dyer. He used to do both. And he used to do it for the king, King Kamsa. So that washerman was coming with his team and so many loads of clothes he was carrying on his head. New clothes he was going to give to deliver to the palace. New clothes he had dyed and he was going to give to the palace. So Krishna saw him with a load of clothes. So Krishna stopped him and he said, "My dear washerman, if you give some of your clothes to me and Balram, that will be very nice. You will be blessed. You will get great fortune." Now Krishna, the master of the universe, everything should be offered to him, even clothes. When we purchase new clothes, we should not wear them first. We should offer to Krishna first and then wear. So everything should be offered to Krishna first. And he himself is asking, that was a great fortune of the washerman, that he got Krishna who came to him and asked him for clothes. But this washerman was a demon. Because of bad association with Kamsa, this washerman's intelligence was polluted. And when he heard from Krishna Balram the request for clothes, he got angry. First he laughed on Krishna. His associates laughed on Krishna. And very angrily, with high volume, he rebuked Krishna, thinking that these are mere boys, village boys, gautis, wandering in the forest and mountains. Suddenly they have come to city. Because the way Krishna Balram were dressed, that was Vrindavan dress. It was visibly forest dress, not like city. City people dress in a different way. Krishna in Vrindavan would dress in a different way. So it was very clear identification. They were not part of this Mathura city. So the washerman said, "You are wandering in the forest and mountains. How dare you ask for king's clothes? This is impudence. This is bad etiquette. And my dear boys, may I warn you, never do this again. Because if you do something like this, then the king's soldier will arrest you, beat you and kill you. This is my personal experience. Nobody touches king's property. So never do that again and go on your way." Washerman said like that. What did Krishna do? He chastised him. He punished him. How? He cut his head on the spot. with his fingers. Krishna didn't use sword or any other weapon. He used his fingers as sword, sharp sword, and he cut his head. This is called punishment. On the spot, Krishna gave him punishment. Not that he put a FIR against the washerman and they went and arrested him and he took bail, then they investigated the case, then they filed in the court, then they appointed a defense lawyer and a prosecutor lawyer, and they sent a notice, then he replied it, and there was a hearing, and the hearing is still going on since 5,000 years. No. Krishna on the spot punished him and killed him. Krishna came to kill demons. They are miscreants. They are aggressors. So when the leader washerman died with his head chopped off, all his associates became so angry, they threw the clothes and they went. And Krishna Balaram, they picked up some nice new clothes for themselves. Whatever color they liked, Krishna picked up yellow, Balaramji picked up blue, and his sakas, some picked up white, some picked up red, some picked up green, some picked up yellow, orange, blue, and whatever was not required, they left on the road and they went ahead. So Krishna, this is an amazing pastime in which it looks like the washerman's mistake was not so big. He just said no. And Krishna killed him. Koi marta hai kisi ko nahi bola ko. Looks like very serious punishment Krishna gave. But we should remember this punishment is not just because of his no. He was an asura already because of his association with Kamsa. And Krishna came to kill all the asuras. So he killed him. There was one more incident. There was King Paundrak. King Paundrak, he used to think himself that I am Bhagwan, I am God, I am Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. There are many such Paundraks nowadays who think themselves God. So King Paundrak used to think I am God. And there were people around him, his ministers and friends, they would glorify him as God. They would worship him as God. So King Paundrak got more proof. He got self-realized. He got proof that yes, I am God. And he started wearing peacock feather and yellow dhoti and a duplicate Kaustubh Mani and duplicate Vaijanti garland. And he had two hands. So two cardboard hands he stuck. And he had duplicate weapons and duplicate saranga bow. And he would be like a drama artist who dresses himself as Krishna. So he dressed himself as Krishna. But and he thought, I am God. I have incarnated. I am incarnation. I have come here to kill the asuras. If people surrender to me and chant my holy name, then they will be delivered. He himself was so bewildered and thinking he is delivering others. Foolish person. So he was so impudent that he got daring, he got audacity to write a letter to Dwarkadish Krishna. And he wrote in the letter to Dwarkadish that I am real Vasudev. I am real God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have incarnated to kill all the demons and protect the devotees. But it appears you have taken my position. You have taken up this false situation. So I request you, challenge you to you give up this position. Give up your Sudarshan Chakra. Give up your Saranga bow. And surrender unto my lotus feet. If you don't do that, then be ready for war. Balaram was absent at that time in Dwarka. He was in Vrindavan. Krishna and other ministers and Ugrasen and Vasudev and Kritavarma and all other associates of the Lord, they were present in Dwarka Sabha when they heard this letter. What did they do after hearing this letter? They laughed like anything. Such a nice joke they heard. Then Krishna dictated another reply through the same messenger. And it was to Pondrak, "You are a rascal, Badmash. You are a foolish rascal. And I directly call you rascal. You want me to give Sudarshan Chakra? I am coming to give you. Let me see if you can handle it. When I give you my Sudarshan Chakra, then you will die." And such a big letter Krishna wrote, and he dispatched, and behind that he took his army and he went to kill Pondrak. Pondrak at that time was not in his palace, in his kingdom. He was staying with his friend Kashi Raj in the kingdom of Kashi. So when Pondrak heard that Dwarkadish is coming with his Sena, Pondrak came out with his two Akshavani divisions of Sena. And Kashi Raj was Pondrak's friend. To help him, he came out with his three Akshavani Sena. And Krishna and Pondrak came face to face. First time Krishna saw Pondrak in his dress. And Krishna started laughing like anything, seeing this duplicate Krishna. And then Krishna again chastised him. Very heavy words he said. And he said, "I will kill you today in the battle and you will be eaten by dogs. Any dog who thinks that he is God should be killed. And his body should be given to dogs to eat." And he chastised Pondrak and there was a heavy fight. And Krishna killed him with his Sudarshan Chakra. Krishna punished him. A person who is not God, but he claims to be God and accepts worship like that in the society, he creates a big havoc in the society. He is a demon and he should be punished severely. The government and the Kshatriya who rules this kingdom, they should be strong and strict to not allow anybody to be a pretender, to pretend becoming God, to pretend becoming sadhu or spiritual master. Because people have highest faith on God or spiritual master. So their faith is broken, their faith is shaken, and many people, they don't know then what to do in life. They commit suicide. So this is very dangerous. To pretend oneself to be God, or to pretend oneself to be a pure devotee, this is very, very dangerous. This is very great sinful activity. A knocker, a servant, if he thinks I am the master and he declares himself to be master in the public, he is doing a very gross mistake. So that's not good. If anybody comes here and says, "I am Prime Minister Narendra Modi," what will local police do? Accept it. They will punish him. They may beat him up. They may lock him up. Right? He will have to undergo a trial. But how can you say like this, that "I am Prime Minister"? Right? And so many people are sitting and saying, "I am God." Nobody does anything for them. This is also criminal activity. They should be punished. They should also undergo trial. They should also be locked up. So many people are declaring, "I am God, I am sadhu, I am devotee." What is this? They are accepting worship. So this is very dangerous in the society. So any person who breaks the laws of God is to be punished. Sometimes many nations nowadays, they are against capital punishment. The path in so though hang until death. Saying that when we can't take life, we can't give life, how can we take life? But they don't understand the person who kills others, he will have to be killed. That is the law of nature. So if the government kills them, that's nice. Otherwise they will have a very dangerous death. So when a capital punishment is awarded to a murderer, it is actually the king's mercy, because by that his karma is cut immediately. Otherwise in next life he has to have that distress, which is very very painful. So there is nothing wrong in capital punishment when given to a suitable culprit. There is nothing wrong. Earlier they used to do that. They used to kill the murderer. And that is dharma. That is not adharma. This is misdirected mercy. This is misdirected compassion. Misdirected softness of the heart. This is not softness of the heart. This is weakness of the heart. That they don't want to give equal punishment. That is lack of justice. Those who murder, those who rape, those who are terrorists, they are not suitable candidates to be spent money to protect them in the jail. First of all, the person is a rapist or a terrorist, and government puts him in the jail, and then you spend money to protect him in the jail so that nobody else kills him. And who gives that money? We who pay tax. So our one part of the tax is going in maintaining and protecting those people from whom we are in danger in the society. Does that make sense? This is foolishness. The very person who is the enemy of the society, I have to pay tax to maintain and protect that person. And for terrorists, they are spending crores of rupees. That is foolishness. Doesn't make sense. This is government. A kshatriya should be so powerful that he detects an enemy and he clears the matter on the spot. Why all this jhamela? So punishment is not against ethics or against dharma. Punishment is required to keep the society peaceful. If the government is strong, punishment is strict, then the criminals, they will be afraid. They will have fear, and by that fear, there will be less criminal activities. Many people speak against Gulf countries where there are severe punishments. Like if you steal, then your hands are cut. This seems to be a very severe form of punishment. But in all these years, there will be hardly any person who steals in that country. Hardly any person who steals in that country. The crime rate in those countries, the reported crime rate in those countries is very, very less as compared to countries where democracy is there and where liberalized judicial systems are there, in like our country. Their robbing is very, very less. Murder is very rare. Rape is very rare. Stealing means they cut the hands. Other offenses, they whip in public. Seems to be too violent. But in certain cases, this punishment, this strict punishment, just the mention and information of this punishment in the constitution keeps the criminals away. They don't commit crimes. Because they know if they are caught, then that is too much to. Losing hands is too big punishment. So there's hardly anything. If you leave a 500, okay, if you leave a, not note, dirham or riyal outside a shop, on the road, after 2-3 hours you come, it will be there only. Nobody must have taken it. Because people are afraid if they take, they will be considered robbers and they will get punishment. So nobody touches others' property. There, if you forget something in any shop while purchasing and you come back, you will find that object there. Nobody will take it. So it is in that way beneficial. Of course, dictatorship should not be in such a way that the dictator himself has character flaws. Otherwise, earlier there was monarchy, single king, Rajarishi, follower of Vaishnav Brahmana, spiritual master, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj. And that was fine. Parikshit told Kali, you can stay only in four places. Where there is meat eating, where there is intoxication, where there is gambling, and where there is illicit sex. Kali went all over the kingdom and didn't find any such place. People were not indulging in such activities. No sinful activities at all. So that's good kingdom, where all citizens are peaceful. No criminal activities, no sinful activities, focused on spiritual activities. Ram Rajya. Even today people talk about Ram Rajya. That's good. So punishment is required when we want to maintain the society. So Krishna says, among all the ways to suppress miscreants who don't follow law, I am punishment. Then he goes on to say, among all the ways one is victorious, I am morality. To be successful and victorious in our life, people try to do many ways, many efforts. Among all them, the best is dharma. The best is morality. So that represents Krishna. If I want to be successful, then I should follow dharma. People speak lies, they give bribe, they do cheating to be successful, to get their job done, to be victorious. But that is adharma. That is not real success. That is not real victory. Because when we act in adharma, then that creates pap, sinful activity. And when it matures, then I get distress. Now I may appear to be successful, now I may appear to be victorious, but when my pap matures, then I am in distress. Like if a person goes and robs the bank, and he has some few crores of rupees, then he will enjoy life till he is caught by the police. But once he is caught by the police, then what that crores will help him? He will be in the jail. His name will be spoiled. His friends will leave him. Nobody will cooperate with him. And he will be punished for how many years? So if we are successful and victorious by improper means, then eventually we will suffer. Even if a person robs a bank and the police is never able to catch him, still he will suffer. Mother Nature will give punishment. If not this life, next life he will be punished. Nobody can escape Mother Nature. One may escape local police or CBI or ACB or CID or military or FBI. One may escape Interpol, but one can't escape Mother Nature, Durga Devi. One can't escape Yamraj. One can't escape Paramatma. One can't escape Krishna. And they don't require courts and witnesses and evidences. They have everything recorded. Paramatma sees all our activities. He is already witness. Sun God, Moon God, Vayu Devta, Agni Devta, Varun Devta, trees, sky, air, they all are our witnesses. Day, night, the four directions, they all are our witnesses. All our activities are witnessed. We can't do anything in private. So we will be punished. So the only way, the only proper way to be successful, to be victorious, is to follow dharma. When we follow dharma, when we act as per dharma, then we become successful. When we do the same activity without dharma, then we don't become successful. Imagine a situation in which there is a boy and a girl, and they marry and they stay in a house, and after 1 year they become parents and a small baby is born. Then all the relatives and friends will come. They will congratulate the mother. They will bless the child. They will give gift to the child. They will smile. They will have fun. They will enjoy. Right? Now imagine same situation. A boy, a girl, they don't marry and they stay in a house and they have a child. Same situation. What will happen now? Will the relatives come, congratulate, give blessings, give gifts? No. There will be scandal. Their name will be spoiled. Nobody will come. The friends will leave. There will be no enjoyment. There will be misery. In one place she is called mother. Another place she is called prostitute. In one place she is getting blessings. Other place she is getting criticism. In one place she is getting gifts. Other place nobody talks, give bad names. What is the difference between these two? Dharma. In the first case, they underwent marriage, which is a dharmic activity. It is not a legal activity. It is dharmic activity. The second case, it's an adharmic activity. They didn't undergo marriage. In first case, she is called dharam patni. In second case, she is called prostitute. So such a big difference already present in our society, already observed and experienced in our society, that if we follow dharma, then we are successful. If the same activity we do without dharma, then we are not successful. If a boy and girl go together before marriage, then people keep names. They go together after marriage, then they are respected. They are invited in the house. They are fed nicely. As soon as marriage is over, the young boy, girl, bride and bridegroom, the relatives invite them to the house. They feed them nice feast and give them nice gifts and money and all these things. Before marriage, they will not invite, they will not go to their house if they stay together. So this is the difference between dharma and adharma. Very much visible in our society. Very much observed in our society. So Krishna says, those who follow dharma and are victorious, I am that dharma. Victory and success should be based on morality, should be based on dharma. And dharma, how do we know? By reading scriptures, by hearing from devotees who carry dharma in their heart. We should have this knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Not that if I have a desire, I have to fulfill it. No. If I have a desire, I should get knowledge of how to fulfill this desire. Whether this desire should be fulfilled or not. A boy and a girl, when they grow up, they have a desire of lusty activities. So then they should know knowledge how to fulfill their sexual desires. And that is by proper marriage, by being trained in Krishna consciousness. A person has to eat, then he has to know his how to fulfill his hunger. That is by proper maintenance, proper source of income. Not steal food, but purchase food. So whatever desires we have, they have to be fulfilled as per rules and regulations. If we don't follow the rules and fulfill our desires, that is adharma. Even if that yields success, it will yield lots of miseries. It is short-term success. So that victory, that success is proper when it is as per dharma. So Krishna says, I represent that dharma. That dharma represents me. I am that morality which yields success, which yields victory. Then next Krishna says, among all secret things, I am silence. Among all secret things, I am silence. When a person is silent, that means he controls his tongue, then he progresses in life. Most of the problems in our life start when we start speaking, especially when we don't know what to speak and we speak. Most of the relationships, the misunderstandings are because we speak in a certain way or we choose words which were not to be chosen. So tongue is used for vibration, for speaking, but there are rules behind that also, behind our speech also. One should not do prajalpa. One should not waste his time speaking mundane matters or unnecessary things. That's called village talk, to discuss what is happening in the neighbor's house, or to discuss what is happening in Aishwarya Rai's house, or to discuss what is happening in America and London. No time for our family, and we know everything happening in others' family. There is no meaning to this. And so Raghunath Das Goswami, he many times tried to leave his house and join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was unsuccessful. So finally, when we are successful, he left everything and he joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So one day, through Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he asked a question. He said, "My dear Lord, I have taken this renounced order of life, but I don't know what is my duty. What should I do?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him 8 instructions what he should do. What a devotee in renounced order should do, he gave him 8 instructions. The first is, Gramya Katha Na Kahibi. One should not speak prajalpa. One should not speak unnecessary things. Gramya Katha Na Shunive. One should not hear Gramya Katha. One should not hear unnecessary things. Silence is virtue. Mauna, to keep quiet, to speak only when necessary. But when you are speaking Krishna Katha and there is an eager audience to hear, you should not keep silence. You should speak 24 hours. Okay, 25 hours also. When a person is able to speak about Krishna, and there is a person who is ready to hear about Krishna, then silence is not required. Then one should speak. Speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, Shravanam, Kirtanam, these are highest process of devotional service. And these are primary processes of devotional service. But when this is not happening, then silence is better. So mauna is good till you can't speak about Krishna. But if you can speak about Krishna, then that is better. But if you can't speak about Krishna or service related to Krishna, then instead of speaking here and there, that's called prajalpa, unwanted talk, gossip, then better to keep silent, not to unnecessarily speak. You know, when it rains and everything is dark, then the frog, he croaks. Frog, you heard this? Croaking frogs, toads, they croak. They think they are singing. But actually what happens, the snake, who can't see in the dark, he comes to know where is the frog by the sound. And he goes and eats the snake. So the frog who croaks, he is thinking he is singing, but actually the inviting is there. He is inviting the snake to kill him. In the same way, when we croak, we invite Maya to come and take us. Because whenever we speak prajalpa, our time is wasted and we are going towards death. But when we speak about Krishna, our time is utilized and we are going towards liberation, not towards death. So croaking a frog and speaking prajalpa is same thing. So one should avoid. One should better chant Hare Krishna, read scriptures, or if one wants to speak, it should be about Krishna, sing bhajans, kirtan, or about devotional service with devotees. And if at all other things are there, it should be minimum. Even writing books, writing newspapers, writing blogs is also speaking. It is not silence, because it's again an expression of our thoughts. So all these so-called books and blogs and websites and articles and editorials, this is all prajalpa. This is all waste of time. So we should not become the victim of this by reading newspapers, by reading blogs, by reading novels. It is all waste of time. Many people think, oh, if I don't read newspaper, how will I live life? If I don't know news, how will I live life? The first point is, what you know is not news. It is old. Second point is, what you read in the newspaper is not correct. It is biased information. They don't give exact information. Government controls it. Political parties controls it. Businessmen controls it. Terrorists controls it. Those who are rich, they control it. Those who are gundas, they control it. So what you get is not actual news anyway. And third thing is, if you read last week's newspaper, can anybody raise his hands and tell what he remembers and what he got benefit? So anyway, what you read didn't give benefit. So this is not news. If your newspaper, instead of, how many pages newspaper are there? 10? So instead of 10, it comes 5. Then will you get less news? You will never know there was some news you didn't get. You think this is the news of today? Right? So you never know what you are looking for. Before opening the newspaper, you don't know what you are looking for. What they give you, that's final. So what is the meaning of this? If there's a printing mistake, that's okay. That's acceptable. So what is the meaning of this? This is called Kali Purana newspaper. And should I tell you one serious thing? Reading newspaper is sinful activity. Paap. Why? Because paper comes from trees. So to print newspaper, a tree is killed. Violence happens. So if a tree is killed for your news, you are involved in that karma of killing a tree. So this paper industry is backed by very heavy violence. There is only one use of paper industry, and that is to print Prabhupada books. Then that tree gets benefit and goes back home, back to Godhead. The tree from which this paper was made, this Bhagavad Gita, that tree went back home, back to Godhead. The tree from which your newspaper is made, you go to hell by that. That tree sends you to hell. This is serious. This is not sentimental. This is serious. It's waste of our time. Proper-sized paper industry should only be for books, spiritual literature. Then that tree gets benefit. Otherwise, we are committing violence and we go to hell for it. This is sinful activity, serious karma. And what to speak about reading the newspaper and then discussing it over with somebody else? Aaj maine ye padha, tu ne padha? Said, oh, I didn't read. He goes and birth says that. So you are advertising sinful activity. This is completely bogus, bakwas. We should stop this. And if you still have doubts, I just request you to have one small experiment. Don't read newspaper for 30 days and tell me if any negative change happened in your life. Did you miss out actually anything? Nothing you will miss out. Nothing at all. So it is all illusion that I should be up to date of what all crimes are happening in this country. But that's what it is, crimes. Not Times of India, it's crimes of India. So where all crime happened, I should be up to date. And why you have to be up to date about crimes? There's no meaning. So this is all not silence. This is prajalpa. Silence is better. And better than silence is speaking Krishna Katha. Then Krishna says, I am wisdom. Of the wise, I am wisdom. A person in knowledge is respected in the society. Transcendental knowledge. And knowledge comes from again scriptures. So when one reads and hears scriptures from bona fide authorities, then his knowledge represents Krishna. A knowledgeable person should be able to distinguish between spirit and matter, between Krishna's superior and inferior energy, between reality and illusion, and accordingly live life, accordingly take decision. What is favorable to one's Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and what is unfavorable should be rejected. So one should live life like that, as per the principles of scriptures. When we take decision based on knowledge, that is mode of goodness. When we take decision based on desires, that is mode of passion. And when we take decision based on our mood, jo man mein aaya wo, that is mode of ignorance, where there is no thinking. So one should be in mode of goodness. Then one is happy, peaceful, joyful, and spiritually advanced, progressive in spiritual life, in the path of self-realization. So mode of goodness means based on knowledge. So we should have this knowledge. And this comes by reading books and by hearing from devotees. So very attentively, every opportunity we should hear classes. And daily we should read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and other books. Just like as we give importance to our chanting 16 rounds daily, we should also give same importance to our reading. And all devotees should read. Start with Prabhupada's small books, medium books, then Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Nectar of Devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Chaitamrita. All these books we should read. Prabhupada wrote this book not just to sell and have profit, but he wrote so that we can read. And by this knowledge our foundations should be strong. We will know more about Krishna and we will advance in spiritual life. So we are born ignorant, but we should not die ignorant. When a child is born, he is ignorant, not innocent, masoom, is ignorant, agyani. But a human has the potential to gain gyan, to become knowledgeable. So we should try to gain this knowledge. And that's very easy by reading and hearing. Just like we sit in these classes, we gain knowledge. When we open Bhagavad Gita and read, we gain knowledge. It's so easy. There's no money involved. Just we have to be submissively hearing, give our ears, and we gain knowledge. And this knowledge is so powerful, so joyful. Confidential knowledge, Raj Guhyam, and it's so pavitra, it is so pure, purest of all knowledge, Raj Vidya, the king of all knowledge, and it helps us to progress and go back to Krishna. So we should acquire this knowledge, we should hear, all opportunities of hearing, we should grab, and we should read. Devotee should do that, then we progress very nicely in spiritual life. Coming in contact with the spiritual master means we are no longer ignorant, we are no longer fools, but we are knowledgeable people who knows what to do and what not to do, who can take decision based on Shastra, who are independently thoughtful, can use their intelligence maturely. And thus we advance in spiritual life. So one should utilize this opportunity and gain knowledge. So Krishna is explaining his opulences. It is so great to hear directly from Krishna about himself, and in that way we are getting genuine information, genuine knowledge, and our faith on Krishna increases, and that why we become nice devotees. Progress in Krishna consciousness means increasing our faith, increasing our dependence on Krishna. So the more we hear, the more we develop our faith in Krishna, and that is advanced. So we should be very regularly hearing, reading, chanting, and that way we advance in spiritual life. Okay, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we will take. Any questions? Yes.